Sarah, my wife, for last night said, be sure to take a lot of notes. I never take notes. I mean, well, if you don't take notes, I'll just ask Sharon, and she'll tell me everything. But I want you to take a lot of notes about last night. And I did. I was a good husband. I took what everybody said. I wrote their names. She wanted to know who said what. And you know, I read over those last night when I got home and then this morning. And I tell you, it's like, I think we should just read what the believers, what the beloved saints said to one another. And that was almost everything that I was going to say this morning. And I was so blessed and thrilled at the great spirit of the Lord last night. There's been many a time when we've had meetings that it's not been that way. And just praise the Lord for it. Just very thankful. I want to just set the stage for what I'm going to be sharing this morning just by reading some verses to you. Just sit back and listen. Psalm 10:17. O Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear. Psalm 34:2. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and be glad. Proverbs 16:19. It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Isaiah 57:15. This is one of my favorites. For thus saith the high and exalted one, who lives forever, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and lofty place, listen to this, and also with the contrite and humble of spirit. What a difference. What an amazing thing that is. Matthew 18:4, whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 23:12, whosoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. James 4:6, God is opposed to the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Last verse, 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. The subject this morning is the humility of Christ. So let's go to prayer. Lord, we've exalted your name this morning, and we do continue to exalt and to praise you, declare that you are high and lifted up. Lord, we bless your name this morning. Lord, I want to thank you so much that you love the humble. Lord, you love the poor in spirit. And Lord, as we look at you and your humility today, I pray that your spirit would really show us Christ, this part of our Lord Jesus, that we would fall more deeply in love with you than ever before. In your name I pray. Amen. We'll be considering chapter 2 in the book of Philippians. So if you can turn there. The first chapter is Christ is our life. For me to live is Christ. Second chapter, the subject is Christ is our example. We're to have this same attitude in ourselves that was in Christ. Chapter 3 is Christ is our goal. To count everything but loss for the sake of knowing Christ. Chapter 4 is Christ is our supply. We have riches in Christ Jesus. But chapter 2 is the example of Christ, the humble mind of Christ. So let's start. We'll read verses 1 through 8. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. I think before we read the next few verses, I just want to say something. Oftentimes as you're reading through Scripture, it's all wonderful, but every now and then you come across a passage that opens the door into the very thought of God. And it's usually very amazing sections of Scripture. You know, Scripture's not written for doctrine. It's not a doctrinal book. It'd be nice sometimes if it was, but it's just as Paul, by the Spirit, sharing to the Philippian church, we come to this great passage here. And this is an amazing passage. It tells us the mind of Christ. Verse 5 says, have this mind of Christ, have this mind in yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I was going to start off with 1 Corinthians 1:9, where it says we have, our fellowship is with Jesus Christ. Fellowship is sharing. It's sharing in the Lord. And today we want to look at sharing in the mind of the Lord. Fellowshipping in the mind of the Lord. So consider verse 5. It says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus. This attitude, if you look at verse 2, and it says, have this being of the same mind. We're to have the same mind of humility that's mentioned in verse 3, but with humility of mind. Paul is saying, have this same mind in yourselves that was also in Christ Jesus. W.E. Vine says, having the same mind is to be like-minded. Darby in the King James says, let this mind be in you. Have this attitude in yourselves. The NIV says, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. We are to have the same mind that the Lord demonstrates in these next verses. That same mind is a mind of humility. And what a wonderful thing that you and I are to share in this mind, have fellowship in this mind of humility. You know, it's not just a few of us that are to share in this mind. It's all of us together sharing in this mind of humility. An amazing thing to me is that we can have this same mind, this same attitude as Christ did. You know, that's a wonderful thing that you and I can share in this mind of humility. I think that's a wonderful thing. And as we go through here, we'll be seeing how what this mind of Christ is like. When we come to verse 6 and 7, we come to a section of Scripture that's called the kenosis. It's the self-emptying of the Lord. I'm not getting into any of the doctrine of it because it can be controversial, but it's a wonderful section that talks about the pre-incarnate Christ. And let's look at that verse. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. And it becomes evident to us that the Lord Jesus willingly and voluntarily emptied himself of all that he had when he was with the Father. He was willing to take a low place. Thiessen, and this is the only doctrinal person I'll read, says, we note that the humiliation began in Christ's attitude of mind. He thought the being on an equality with God not a thing to be grasped or forcibly retained. This is an attitude of humility. And I, frankly, was just amazed to consider that the Lord had an attitude, a heart of humility, even before he came to earth. It seems like humility is in, how I say, the very fabric of who God is. In the Lord Jesus, there is great humility. Brothers and sisters, the Lord had a lowly mind when he was willing to empty himself and come to earth. He had a lowly mind. And he was willing to give up, empty himself. We don't know quite all that that meant, but he lowered himself and became like you and I. And if we're to share in the mind of Christ, we're to have a lowly mind. The humble mind of Christ means taking a low place. Turn to 2 Corinthians 8, 9, please. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Our Lord was willing, though he was rich, he was willing to become poor, to take the low place of poverty for you and I. You know, I think as Isaiah 6, you get a view, you get to see into the throne of God, and you see the smoke and the power and the sound that's there in the throne room in Isaiah chapter 6. You see the great status that our Lord had. And then if you take a peek into the inn where he was born, you see the high and the low that our Lord was willing to go through for us. It's incomprehensible, really, the high place that our Lord was and what he emptied himself of to come here. And I remind you of verse 5 is we are to have that same mindset that our Lord had even then, of lowering himself. The Lord took a low place for you and I. My question to us is, are we willing to have that same mind of humility? Are we willing to take a low place for each other? Are we willing to take a low place? See, a mind of humility involves taking a low place. And I want to try to be very simple today, so let's move on. Look at the next verse, please. We see he emptied himself and he took the form of a bondservant. He took the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. This bondservant is actually a servant. You know, it's not like a waiter or a Chick-fil-A guy that says, my pleasure to serve you. Is that what they say? You know, the Lord took on the form. What does they say? My pleasure. Yeah, my pleasure. Which is actually kind of nice, isn't it? But our Lord took the form of a servant, of a bondservant. And I would like you to turn to Matthew chapter 20. And we'll read 24 through 28. Hearing this, the 10 disciples became very indignant of the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "Ye know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Our Lord came as a servant. Brothers and sisters, that mind of humility was a lowly mind. The mind of humility that we're to have is as a servant mind. This servant mind of Christ is to be ours in our outlook toward each other. It's not a servant mind is, I'm coming every Sunday, every Friday night, every time I'm meeting with the brothers and sisters in the Lord, I'm coming as a servant. In the humble mind of Christ, whenever we're together, we are to serve. Have that humble mind of servanthood. It's an amazing thing that our Lord Jesus would come and become among us and be a servant. In John, I don't think we need to turn there, but talking about when the Lord took off his garments and right before the table, he said he took his garments off and he took the form of a servant that washed people's feet. And you know, the Lord had demonstrated to the disciples how much humility we're to have in our serving one another. Brothers and sisters, this service that we have to one another is to be to be a servant. This goes against our American way of thinking. To be a servant is actually to take the low place and always take the low place and always to serve. The Lord humbled himself before his disciples and served them. So remember, we are to have this mind in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, to be humble servants one to another. We love, and I love, to sing of the victory that we have in Christ, the power that we have in Christ, how wonderful it is to know that we reign with Christ in the heavenlies. But it seems like humility of the Lord grounds us, so to speak. The most powerful saint is the servant. Those among us who love the victory of Christ, and we do have the victory of Christ, we are to actually be humble servants as well. They go hand in hand in the spiritual walk that we have with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let's have the mind of Christ in our servanthood one to another. I'm sure the Holy Spirit can even further help us understand more what it means to be a servant as we're with each other. And how much of that came out last night? want to serve one another. We want to build one another up. What a wonderful thing that we're getting together in these new groups, and we can actually have a servant's heart toward each other. Not what am I going to get? How am I going to feel? But to lay that down, to take the lowly place, and to come into these groups with a servant heart, the same servant heart that the Lord Jesus had. How he loved, how he associated with the lowly, how he loved the poor in spirit, the contrite in heart. And we're to do that in our groups and as a body of Christ. And I want to say how much I love each one of you guys. Just like Stella was saying, we're beloved in the Lord. We're beloved. And how beloved we are of one another. How wonderful it is to be with a group of believers whose only thought toward each other is to serve. How can I serve you? It would be a pleasure to serve you. That's the mind of Christ we're to have. Look at verse 8. Not only did he have a lowly heart, and did he have a servant heart, but he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And I think there's no better place to describe this humbling, the Lord's heart of humbling himself to the point of death than the Garden of Gethsemane. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. Let's start with verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Verse 42, and he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." The humble mind of the Lord, the mind that we're to have, is an obedient mind. You notice the words, "Not my will, but thine." If this is what you want, Lord, I'll do it. How many times last night, I heard that many times, well, sometimes last night, "Lord, if this is what you want, I want what you want." This is the humble mind of the Lord that we're to have in our being with each other. It's a mind that says, "Not my will, Lord, yours be done." And that humbleness of heart that's to come out in each one of us is like this, the humbleness that our Lord had, even to the point of death. In Hebrews it says, This is with great crying and tears. This was difficult for our Lord. And many times, us being able to say, "Not my will, but your will," is very, very difficult for us. I know there's been times in my life, even here in the fellowship, I've had to say, "Lord, I have no idea what's going on, but not my will, yours be done. I think I'm right in this." And I've had to lay it down and say, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done." And how wonderful it is when the humble life of the Lord comes out and we experience a joy of giving up our will to the will of the Lord. It's quite unlike, I'm going to say Americans, to give up our will. We want to state it and put it out there. This is my right. This is what I want. And how unlike our Lord, who was so humble, even to the point of death. This section of Scripture is just singular in its, in the Lord, the Holy Spirit pointing out the humble mind of the Lord. He's not talking about redemption, all the wonderful things that happened on the cross. He's pointing out how humble, how the humble mind of the Lord led him from his Father's side even to that point of death. And you know, even later in this chapter, it wasn't the Lord that even had exalted himself. It was the Father who exalted him and gave him a name and placed him on that the high place. Brothers and sisters, even in our own life, we're not to exalt ourselves. Just let others do that. Let the Lord later who will exalt you. But as we have this humble life of the Lord that we share together, this humble mind of the Lord, we're going to see so much fruit in the assembly. And we will. I want to consider three men in this chapter who had this humble mind of the Lord. And it came out in some wonderful, wonderful ways. So consider the Apostle Paul in verses 17 and 18. Verse 17 says, "But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me." Ironside, when I was reading him about this, he had a really, really great point, which I really loved. The picture is each one of us is living in the life of Christ and offering up by our service to the Lord. Our very life is a sacrifice of faith to the Lord. And Paul says, "I come along and I pour out a libation." Libation is a pouring out of a sacrifice upon your sacrifice, and it goes up as a sweet smelling aroma to the Lord. Paul is saying, "I'm adding my service, I'm pouring out my life upon the sacrifice and service of your faith," and it all goes up in a wonderful aroma to the Lord. And he says, "I want you to do the same with me. I want you to pour out your life upon my sacrifice and service, and we our joy together in pouring out our lives one upon the other goes up as a sweet aroma to the Lord." What a humble, how the humility of the Lord comes out in the Apostle Paul to give himself totally to the brothers that he loves here. You know, they have a great love relationship here in Philippians. They really love each other. And Paul says, "I'm going to pour out my life upon your life," and that sacrifice goes up as a good aroma to the Lord. What's wonderful here is that we brothers and sisters can do the same with each other. I can pour out my life upon you. You can pour out your life upon me. And together it all goes up as a sweet aroma to the Lord. And this is the way we should view our service to each other, a sacrificial pouring out of our lives one upon the other. Then we come to verse 20 and 21. Paul loved Timothy, and this is what he says about Timothy. "For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own, not the things which are Christ." Brothers and sisters, a humble mind of service is like Timothy, who had a genuine concern for the welfare of others. I love that. Genuine concern. Not a surface concern, but a deep, genuine concern for the welfare of others. Timothy was a timid soul, but he was so used of the Lord. Paul sent him to many different places, and the Lord could really use Timothy to heal conflict, to share what Paul had with an assembly. Timothy had a genuine heart. He could listen, he could empathize, and he demonstrated a genuineness of love and concern. And this attitude, this heart, is to be ours as well. We're to have a genuine concern for the welfare of every believer in our assembly. It's not just a few that are to have this concern, but we all are to show this mind of Christ, of humility, of not concerned about myself, but I'm concerned about you, genuinely concerned about you. Brothers and sisters, what an amazing thing if we were all that way. You know that I would have, let's say there's 100 people here, I would have 100 people, or 99, concerned genuinely about my welfare. And I would be concerned genuinely about your welfare. Like Paul, pouring out his life upon them, them pouring their life upon Paul. Timothy poured out his life upon these folk with a genuine concern for their welfare. This really demonstrates the life of Christ. This is really sharing in the life of Christ. The last person we'll be considering is Epaphroditus. Let's start with verse 25 and we'll read through 28. "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who was your messenger and minister to my need." Now listen to this. This just kills me about this, about Epaphroditus. "Because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him to you all the more eagerly, so that when you see him, you may rejoice, and I may be the less concerned about you." What struck me about Epaphroditus and the assembly he came from and Paul's reaction to Epaphroditus was the tenderness of heart that they had one to another. It's almost like they loved each other. You know, Epaphroditus was really concerned, distressed, because they heard that he was sick. I mean, that's like really a sensitive heart, isn't it? I have a very insensitive heart. And this very much impressed me, that if I would have the life, the humility of the Lord, my heart over the years should not get harder, becoming a cranky old guy. It should become more sensitive. It should become more able to express a sensitivity to another person. And brothers and sisters, in the body of Christ, if we have that lowly mind of the Lord, that servant heart, and that heart of obedience, our love for one another, our sensitivity to each other will become deeper and deeper. It won't stay stagnant. It will grow and abound. And to me, that's what we saw last night, is a love for each other that was evident, and an opportunity in the coming months and years to show and demonstrate even more love and a heart toward one another. We're going to go back now to the first part of the chapter. And I like verse 3 and 4. I kind of think of it as the rest of the book, the rest of the chapter has been very sensitive and whatever. And somebody like me says, well, just get down to the nub of it. What is it to have a humble heart, humble mind? So Paul does get down to the nub of this. He says, okay, Roger, here's what you do. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourself. I mean, how plain is that? this humble mind of Christ that we're to have, if you want it put out in black and white, plain as day, everybody else is more important than you are. Now, what an attitude to have. What a way of thinking to have, that every other person in this room is more important than you. Their thoughts, their needs, it's more important than yours. Are we like that? Do we automatically come into a room and we might not say it, but I am at least as important as you are. But the humble heart, the lowly heart, the mind of Christ says, you are more important than I am, and I'm here to serve you. I'm here to pour out my life upon you. What a wonderful thing. He says, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. So not only are you more important, what needs do you have? What interest do you have? They're more important than what I'm interested in. I love that, how practical that is. Lastly, let's consider verses 1 and 2. This is a church. This describes a church that has a humble mind of the Lord. You know, it's possible to be in an assembly where the mind of the Lord is, the humble mind of the Lord is evident. Verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, if there is any, let me stop right here. This if is like, what do they say, an intensive if. It's like, it is true. It's not saying if it was true. It is true. These things are the case. So we'll just name these things. If there's any comfort or encouragement in Christ, and there is. If there's any consolation, comfort of love, there is. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's deep affection and compassion one to another, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. You know, every assembly has a story, and our story could be just like that. An assembly that has a unity of spirit, a unity of heart and purpose. It's a place where there's fellowship in the Spirit, there's love and deep affection and compassion one to another. You know, I believe the Lord wants to do this in our assembly in a greater and more wonderful way than He already has done. Brothers and sisters, if we will take the mind of Christ and let that humble mind of Christ be ours, you know, it's possible. It does say in Corinthians, you have the mind of Christ, and it's the Spirit of God who sheds abroad these things that the mind of Christ in our hearts and our lives. You know, assembly that does not have as its base, I really don't know how to say it, like a foundation, but below everything is humility. And once humility is broken, once humility is not there, you get arrogance and pride and division and strife, like the Corinthian church. But when we have the humble mind of Christ that's mentioned here, what unity, what growth, what outpouring of love toward one another. And I really sensed last night that below it all the surface was a humility to the Lord and for each other. And it was a beautiful thing to me to behold. I'm sure it was to all of you. We need to have the mind of Christ, this humble mind of Christ in our assembly. And just praise the Lord that it's ours to have. Let's pray. Lord, I want to just thank you that you are willing to say, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, you are willing to become a servant. And Lord, you are willing to take the low place. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would be willing to take the low place, that we would be willing to become a servant. Not to be served, but to serve. And Lord, we would be willing to be obedient, no matter how how hard it becomes that we'll be obedient to what you've asked us to do. Lord, I pray that there would be within our midst that sweet savor of pouring out our lives in humility one upon the other. Lord, that we would genuinely, deeply, from the heart, really care for the welfare of our brothers and sisters. And Lord, give us all a great sensitivity to each other, to our hurts and our wants and our needs. And Lord, may we, none of us, no one here, feel lonely, left out, unloved, uncared for. Lord, in your house, how can that be so when it's filled with servants and people who have this humble mind? Lord, I pray that you would exalt your name in our midst, Lord. We often ask for that the beauty of Christ Jesus might be seen in us, might be seen in your house. And Lord, I pray that the beauty of humility might be seen in each one of us, that this place, the story of this place, could be the humility of the Lord, how they loved each other, how they cared for one another. Lord, we bless your name. Amen.